Thanks for listening to the ministry of Pastor Brad Smith, lead pastor of Woodward First Assembly of God, located in Woodward, Oklahoma. So let's go live right now into the sanctuary where Pastor Brad Smith is about to deliver a fresh word from heaven.
Tuesday, everybody say Tuesday. So look at your bulletin. If you're a member, be sure to come. It'll be a good time for you to get involved with that. As you're standing, open up your Bible this morning to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And we're finishing up our series today entitled Roots. And we're going to start something new next Sunday morning with the resurrection theme for the whole month entitled Resurrection Realities. So we're going to be talking about the blood of Jesus and justification and sanctification, all those big words that we're going to break down and share with you what they really mean and how they apply to our lives. So open your Bibles up to 2 Timothy chapter 4. When you have it, say amen. Paul writes to his spiritual son Timothy, and this is what he says. He says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Lord, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you would open up our hearts, our ears, and our understanding today to behold the glorious truths of your word. Lord, let it be like seed that produces fruit in our hearts. Lord, we bind every hindrance today, and we thank you that the word of the Lord will have free course in this place in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You can be seated this morning in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Didn't the worship team do a great job this morning? Hallelujah. Yeah, go ahead. Give them a hand clap this morning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It makes it easier to minister for sure. This morning, we want to continue and talk on the subject of roots. And we've been looking at this for the last month, if you will. The title of my message today is The Value of Preaching. Would you say that with me? The value of preaching. Over the last month, we've looked at a bunch of different aspects of the Christian life and things that produce fruitfulness. And I'm one that I don't like people to be left behind, and I'm not going to re-preach every single sermon in the series over the next 5 minutes, but I do want to give you a little background of some of the things that we've covered. We've covered, first of all, we've covered the importance of reading the Word of God, daily Bible reading, how that's important to develop fruitfulness in your Christian life. How many of you would agree with that? That when you read the Word of God and study God's Word in your life, it produces that Christian fruit that abounds even in your old age. Then we talked about prayer, how prayer is important, and how Jesus modeled to us prayer so that even if Jesus prayed, then we need to pray, right? Then we looked at walking in love, and that was a tough one. If you missed the sermon on that one, I would encourage you to go back in line and catch that. As a Christian, how many of you know you will have the opportunity to walk in love? Yeah. Amen. Even Jesus had to walk in love to people who did him wrong, even on the cross, the religious people who crucified him. We'll be looking at that a little bit more next week. But then we also talked about, in the middle of our teaching, we talked about the importance of church attendance and why we need to come to the house of God. And we talked about the fellowship one with another. We talked about the camaraderie. We talked about the accountability. We talked about being a part of a family. But this morning, I want to take that a little bit further, and I want to talk to you about the value of preaching. You know, there's a lot of great things in church, as I mentioned. Love the fellowship, love hanging around. But the truth of the matter is, we come to worship, and we come to hear the word of the Lord. And that's vitally important in the days that we live in. And in any hour, as we are right now, we need a word from the Lord. We need to hear from God today. See, it's not no secret. Anybody that knows anything about Brad Smith knows this one fact. I love preaching. If you get in the car with me for any length of time longer than 10 minutes, it is very probable that we're going to listen to sermons. If it is a multiple hour trip, we're going to listen to multiple sermons. And that's something that I love. Pastor Seth is shaking his head on the front row. We have driven many of miles together, and he understands exactly what I'm talking about. There's a love for not only the Word of God, but for solid doctrinal preaching that was really established in my life from a young age. My great-grandfather was a preacher. And I grew up under some solid men and women of God who were solid preachers. And I remember when I really got saved and on fire for God when I was 13 years old. I remember, I'm of the generation where I remember the days before MP3s and CDs. I mean, I came on the backside of 8-tracks and got into the cassette tape generation. Amen? And I remember that when I was 13 years old, I had this Bible my grandma gave me, and I would read it, and I would devour it, the Word of God, from off of the pages. And I still have that Bible today. It's highlighted from cover to cover, and it's a great part of my life, and I keep it as a reminder, even though the bound is tore off of it and some of the pages are torn. It reminds me of where I started. But I remember being 13 years old. I would stay the night at a friend's house and one of my youth leaders' houses, who was just a few years older than me, and we would have lock-ins and stuff like that. And I remember at being 13 and 14 years old having that hunger for the Word of God. And so what we would do is my friends, mom and dad, they would order these cassette tape series, and we would listen to preaching all night long. I remember one particular instance where they ordered, I believe it was a 5 or 6 tape series from Dominion Camp Meeting from Rod Parsley's church in Ohio. And I remember it was like Lester Sumrall, and it was R.W. Sandbach. Does anybody love R.W. Sandbach? R.W. Sandbach used to preach, and he would always say, "You don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God." And I remember listening to the preaching and the teaching of Brother Hagin and great men and women of God that I would listen to. And I would take my pen and I would write notes because, listen, as the Word of God was being preached, here's an amazing thing. God is the only person who has the capacity to say one thing and all of us hear it differently. It's amazing. I've been preaching before, and I was preaching on love, and somebody come up to me and say, "Pastor, you know, something you said really spoke to me today." And it had nothing to do with even what I was talking about. You know what that was? That was the inspiration of the Holy Spirit applying the Word of God to people's hearts. See, there's value to hearing the Word of God preached. That's why it's important to come and get connected when the Word is being shared. But I remember listening to, like, R.W. Sandbach, and then even though I never was raised Baptist, I always loved Adrian Rogers for his exposition of the Scripture. He would always alliterate his points, and I never had to worry about him getting off doctrinally because he just stayed within the confines of Scripture. And then there were the pastors that I grew up under that nobody ever knew, but they shaped and they impacted my life. The church that we attended for many years had a bookstore. And in that bookstore, they would have Bibles and devotional books, and they had a tape ministry. Once again, it was a long time ago. And they would tape every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, all of the camp meetings, all of the revivals, all of the guest speakers. And they would pre-record them and put them in the bookstore, just hoping somebody would buy them. And what they would do with all of the overrun tapes is they would put them in a box and they would put them in the closet. I was so known for going to the Bible bookstore that about once every 3 months, Miss Annette, the church secretary, she would say, "Hey, come here, I got something to give you." She would give me a box, literally, of hundreds of cassette tapes. And I would get in my room and I would plug them in and I would listen to them. And I even figured out how to take the cassette tape and record it onto my computer. There was just this love, if you will, for the Word of God. And I believe that it was that passion at a young age that even developed and transpired into the call of God that's on my life today. See, here's the thing. There has to be a hunger for truth. See, here's what Jesus said in John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man comes to the Father, how? Except by me. So Jesus is the way, and Jesus is the truth. I like this because look at how David said it in Psalm 119, verse 159 through 160. David said this. He said, "Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness." Look at this, verse 160. "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." And then look at what the scripture says in John 17 and 17. He says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." So God's word is truth, which is important. That's why we need to be submitted to the word of God and come to a place where the biblical truth is being preached. And I'm going to get into some things in just a moment, and some things that might open up your eyes and your understanding to the very thing that I'm trying to say this morning. But we have to be a church that values the word of God. Amen? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 to 17. I love what Paul writes. He says, "All Scripture," everybody say, "All Scripture," "is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So the entirety of the word of God is important. So I want to talk about it. What this thing preaching, God chose this method whereby to proclaim the gospel to the world. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "It's through the foolishness of preaching that men are saved." I know those of us that are in this room today, we can think of great sermons that impacted our lives. We can think of revivals or camp meetings or Brush Arbor meetings, or we can think of great teachers who presented a message that impacted and literally imprinted upon the DNA of our soul. So as I was thinking about this, I began to look at what does it mean? What does the word preach even mean? And the dictionary gives us several things. Number one, it says to give or deliver a sermon. Number two, it talks about religious teaching. One thing says to proclaim or to spread. Another one says to advocate, to recommend, to advise, to urge, to teach, or to counsel. One thing that I know that is true is that biblical preaching always has an urgency behind it. Has an urgency behind it. See, we've got to understand that it's the preaching of the Word of God that helps us develop the roots that produce fruit in our lives. Look with me this morning. I want you to know that in the society that we live in, we are in trouble. I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer. I don't mean to be negative. Matter of fact, this is a very positive message, because I believe there's hope for the world that we live in today. But the truth of the matter is we have a biblical illiterate generation coming up. They don't know the stories of the Bible like you and I used to know them. You talk about Noah's Ark, they say, "Who's Noah?" Talk about Abraham, they don't know what you're talking about. You talk about Lot's wife, they don't understand those things. Church, listen to me. That's why it's very important for our Christian education, our Sunday school teachers. We're thankful for you. Listen, because anytime we can give people the Word of God, it adds value to their lives. Come on, somebody. It's important for us to realize that it's the Word of God that produces faith in our lives to go on the Christian life and to be the Christian God has called us to be. I believe there's several things in the world today that actually bring us to this devise. Number one, as we're looking, I see that there is a national lack of promoting the Bible as God's word. We live in a nation who, over the last decade, we've seen a decline, a decay, if you will, of the value or the standards of the word of God. In Arkansas, just a few months ago, Senator Jason Rapert had the Ten Commandments placed at the courthouse, and just a day after they were placed, a demonized man ran over the Ten Commandment monument and broke it into pieces. You know, there's been a disdain for the Word of God in our nation. In many schools around the world, it's illegal to talk about Christ or to preach the gospel, as we see in God's Not Dead Part 2. But in California, as an elective, you can be taught how to pray a Muslim prayer. Church, listen to me. We are in danger in America, and we've got to get back to the boldness of preaching the Word of God. It is important. Come on, somebody. Number two, here's where it might hurt a little bit, but we would be foolish to think that America's on a slippery slope if we don't take any type of personal responsibility. The truth of the matter is, in our homes today, based on national survey, most people do not have private time devotionals in their homes with their children. We make it the youth pastor's job, the Sunday school teacher's job, the children's pastor's job to teach our kids the Bible. Let me tell you something, friend. You have them for hundreds of hours a week. We have them from 2 hours a week. It's your job to be a parent. Come on. It's your job to be a grandparent. We've got to take responsibility in giving our young people the Word of God. Now listen, we want to help and we want to supplement and we want to build foundations, and I understand that there are times where we have children in our midst who don't have a Christian family, but I'm talking about Christian people today. We got to get back to reading the Bible in our homes with our children. Yes. Hallelujah. It's important for us to do that. Family altars, altar families. We got to have family devotions. Deuteronomy tells us about the responsibility of showing our kids the Word of God and talking about them when we wake up and talking about them when we lie down. It's the family's importance to talk about the Word of God. But you know, there are also people today, I believe that one of the reasons why there's a downfall or decline, if you will, on biblical preaching, it's because, and here's where it comes up to people in my genre. See, I tackled you a moment ago. Now I'm going to tackle me now. I believe that our pulpits in America have backed away from biblical preaching. And I believe that's exactly what our text is talking about today. I've literally heard some preachers say from their mouths, "I'm not called to preach on sin. I'm not called to preach about hell. Well, I'm only called to preach about grace," or "I'm only called to preach about faith." Listen, that is hogwash. The Scripture says we're to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. We're to be well-rounded in our biblical presentation of the gospel. Listen, because if you only preach one side of the gospel, you preach and you make one-sided converts. God is a God of balance. Come on, somebody. You cannot talk about heaven without talking about hell. You can't talk about grace without talking about judgment. You can't talk about those types of things, the gifts of the Spirit, without talking about the fruits of the Spirit. There is a balance. The Bible says that an unjust scale is an abomination in the sight of God. That's why he said we ought to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the Word of God. See, if you can rightly divide it, that means you can wrongly divide it. I was listening last night, as I was laying in bed, one of the most prominent Pentecostal pastors of our day, of the African-American persuasion, his name was Carlton Pearson. He was out of Tulsa. He was a quote-unquote spiritual son of Oral Roberts. And years ago, he came out with this idea that everybody is going to heaven, that there's no hell, that everybody who lives, this is the hell they'll get on the earth, and everybody goes to heaven. It's called the doctrine of inclusion. Everybody, lots of people jumped off the spiritual bridge and followed him into that doctrine of damnation. I'm here to tell you today, there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. Jesus said, "I am the way, I'm the only way," and if people don't have a relationship with him, that's where they go. Come on, somebody. Just because it glitters doesn't mean it's gold. We're called to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. That's why it's important to preach biblical messages. See, it takes applying the totality of Scripture in the way that it was spoken, in the context in which it was given, taking into consideration the people that he was talking to, and asking the question, how does it apply to us today? So let's look at some things tonight as we get into, or this morning rather, as we get into the background of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Read the text with me again. Paul is writing to his spiritual son Timothy, who's a pastor of a church, a large church. He says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, and they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and will be turned aside unto fables. See, in this passage, Paul is talking to Timothy because in Timothy's day, watch it, there are many things that had crept in to the church. Biblical preaching had become unpopular, and I'm sure that in a society like that, it'd be easy to compromise the message. Be easy to compromise the message. And there are a lot of people today that just like in that culture today, there's a temptation to compromise the gospel, if you will, to appease people. Many times in our churches today, we're more concerned with nickels and noses than we are with people going out into eternity. I want you to know something, that it makes no difference how full the church is if it's full of lost people that are going to hell. We have to be biblically converted, names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and have a relationship with Jesus. The totality of Scripture is what we have to have in our lives. But there are people that compromise to get people in the seat. They compromise, they manipulate to get people to give. They compromise all types of things. And I want you to know something, that the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit is still what will draw people today. It's important. If you get people with bounce houses and pizza, there's nothing wrong with bounce houses and pizza, but if that's all you have to offer them, if you don't have that every week, they won't come back. Come on, somebody. But you have to have some substance. You got to have some life change. You got to have some power. Paul said, I didn't come to you with just enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It's been asked the question today, why is it that we have a lack of signs and wonders in the church today? Could it be because the Bible said that he confirms his word? And we have a lack of a delusion, if you will, today in our society. I want to look at this text and I want to mine out some things. Why there is value in preaching. First of all, I want you to look back with me at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Paul talking to his son. He says, I charge you therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, watch it, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Church, do you know it's a scary fact to understand that one day we're going to stand before a holy God? So Paul is telling his spiritual son Timothy, listen, you have a responsibility as a man of God over a congregation. God has put you there as an influencer. He said, I'm charging you with this one thing. So I want you to look at the charge this morning. There is a charge. Verse number one, he says, preach the word. Everybody say, preach the word. Preach the word. You know what that means? That means that our sermons ought to contain Scripture. Our sermons ought to contain Scripture. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but I'm going to tell you something. I heard a televangelist the other day. I'm not going to say who it is, but I heard him preach a message. He read one piece of Scripture. It didn't have anything to do with everything he was talking about, and he never went back to the Bible one time. I want you to know something. Our personal stories can't change lives. Funny stories are great if they fit within the biblical context of things, but listen to me, the only thing that we're called to do is preach the word. Look, not my opinion. The pulpit is not a place for me to preach my opinion and my philosophy and those types of things. If something's being said from this platform, listen to me, it needs to be based upon the Word of God. Not only is it not a place for opinion, the pulpit is not a place for politics. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't stand up for biblical truth and we address the issues at place, but listen to me, we've got it twisted. Jesus isn't coming back on an elephant or a donkey. He's coming back on a white horse, hallelujah, and his kingdom is the one that stands. Woo! That's good stuff right there. We're not called to preach opinions. We're not called to preach politics. And here's another thing. We're not called to preach pop psychology. Self-help in the church only works when it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Everybody's trying to fix self when God's trying to get us to die to self. Come on now. There's a charge for us to preach the Word. Look, here's another thing. We're not supposed to preach what's popular. Popular. We're supposed to preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Listen, the gospel still works. Listen, Jesus saves. His blood is enough to wash every single sin away. Listen, anything from your dirty past, anything in your present right now, if we call upon the Lord, listen, His blood will cleanse us from our sins. And if we don't know Jesus, all we need is a relationship with Him. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus saves. Jesus heals. He heals cancer. He heals disease. He heals arthritis. He heals deafness. He heals blindness. He delivers those who are demon-possessed. Listen, Jesus healed. That's the gospel. Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit. He is the baptizer. He's the one that empowers you to live the Christian life. He enables you to operate in the power of God, in the gifts of the Spirit, to give you boldness to tell the world about Jesus Christ. And then number four, He's coming again. He's our soon coming King. And one of these days, Jesus is coming back. Ready or not, here He comes. And listen, our sermons ought to be Jesus-centered. It was Charles Spurgeon who said this, no matter what you preach, find a beeline from the cross and make it there. As we're in our services, some of us, we need not to try to prejudge who's here. We don't know who's here. We don't know whose destiny will be affected by the preaching of the gospel. Whether or not we believe everybody here is saved or not, we are an evangelistic people because the gospel always gives people an opportunity to change. One person said this. He said, in my sermon, he said, the Lord told him, he said, preach like you don't know who's there. He said, because there might be the next Charles Wesley or it might be the next Charles Manson. You never know who will be changed by the power of the gospel. But there's a charge for us to do this. That's why it's so passionate, my friend, for you and I, to not only sit under gospel preaching, but also to be a gospel witness in the world that we live in today. See, you can tell somebody that Jesus saves. You can tell somebody that Jesus heals. You can tell somebody that He baptizes and that He's coming again. See, all of us can preach in that sense. But I want you to look at another thing this morning. Look with me at verse number 2 as we look at the rest of this. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. See, number 2, there's a challenge. Somebody say, there's a challenge. There's a charge, you see, but there's a challenge. There is a challenge that we have to see. Notice he says here in verse number 2, he says, preach the word. He says, be ready in season and out of season. I want to talk about that for a moment. Paul is trying to tell Timothy, Timothy, you need to be prepared to share your faith. Be prepared to share your faith. One other scripture writes, and he says, always be ready to give an account of the hope that's within you. You know that you never know who you're going to encounter in your day. On your job, at the school, at the grocery store, at Walmart, wherever you might go. You and I, we never know who we're going to encounter. And so Paul tells Timothy, he says, be instant in season and out of season. I've learned always to have a couple sermon outlines stuffed in my Bible, or maybe a couple backups on my iPad. Because here's the thing, I've been in places and they say, hey, oh, can you preach today? I'm like, thanks for the warning, you know. But here's the thing. God, in his word, challenges us to be in season and out of season. But then here's the other thing. Number one, he tells us to convince. Everybody say convince. You know, a lot of what I do when I'm preaching is I'm trying to convince people. I'm trying to convince people that Jesus is the only way. I'm trying to convince people that he is a healer. I'm trying to convince people that there is grace for their mistakes. I'm trying to convince people that he can restore the broken pieces of their lives. And do you know that in the world that we're in today, that is a challenge because we are bombarded by so many other different voices. So many other different voices. We got the pop psychologists. We've got the radio talk hosts. We've got other people who are propagating anti-biblical content. And a lot of times it filters into the ears of our people. People come to church and it is a battle, if you will. It is a war. It is a wrestling match to try to convince them of the biblical truth that Jesus is the answer. That's why it's so awesome when people respond and say yes. Because I'm telling you this morning, I preach for results. He says you got to convince. Then the second thing he tells us is this. Look at this. He tells us we've got to rebuke. This is not the fun part. This is not the fun part. There have been many times over the life of my ministry where I've prayed and God has given me a word and I've just begged him, Lord, no, please, not that one. Can I please preach like Joel Osteen? I don't want to preach that hard stuff. Can I just tell everybody that Jesus loves them and has a wonderful plan for his life? And listen, he does. But the Bible says whom the Lord loves, he also chastens. And so there's a balance in ministry. You see, sometimes our preaching is convincing and other times it's rebuking. And you have to preach and talk about some unpopular stuff that the people of God may be involved in, like unfaithfulness or adultery or pride or dissension or those types of things. But you know, the truth of the matter is that the reason why it's important to have rebuking in the mix of a preaching context is because you only get better if you take the medicine. Come on, somebody. And the Bible says that his word is medicine. It's health and life to all of our flesh. And the importance of rebuke is correction. Listen. All of us in this room have children, right? Or your grandchildren, or you have children on your block, maybe that you communicate with, or maybe things like that, people that you have direct influence of in your life. And listen, even if it might be other people's children, you know, it was been said that it takes a village to raise a child. If you love a child and you see them doing wrong, you're doing no favors by letting them continue in that progress. Come on. If you see them rushing towards a cliff, you can't just say, well, you know, they got to figure it out on their own. You know, no, listen, when you see that child running towards that hot stove, you have to say, stop. There's consequences if you touch that. And if they touch it, then shame on them, but you told them. And that's the same way. Listen, I grew up in an area of my life to where... How should I say this the appropriate way? You were going to hell for everything. Everything. If you smiled, you were going to hell because it's a sin to be happy. Now listen to me. I'm saying this as a young 35-year-old man. The balance has swung too far in the other way, where now we're afraid to talk about the truth and the standards of righteousness of God's word. And listen to me. Listen, when you rebuke somebody, listen, the truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. But sometimes God says no in order to protect us in our lives. And so listen, as we see people plundering down wrong paths, we as the people of God need to step out and give a rebuke and say, no, that's not the way to do it. But he doesn't stop there. Then he says exhort. He said exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. I like exhortation because I like to encourage people. My philosophy is compliments are free. So don't use them like there's no more to give. Compliment people. Tell them they're doing a good job. Build them up. There's part of that. There's scripture for that. We're called to build up the body of Christ. But listen, here's what I'm trying to tell you this morning. You can't have one without the other. You got to have it all together. You got to have the convincing, the rebuking, the exhorting. Why? Because it takes all of it to make a whole Christian. We need to be encouraged when we're doing a good job, but we need to be rebuked when we're running off of a cliff. Then he tells us what? He says, do it with long suffering and with teaching. Do you know why he said do it with long suffering? Long suffering is simply a fancy word. For patience. For patience. Because there's sometimes, as a minister, I found this out in youth ministry, that you can preach your heart out and you teach your heart out and they still don't get it. And you just want to grab them and say, how long is this going to take? I've been where you are. I see what you're doing. Long suffering. Because some people get it a little slower than others. I'm glad that if you're slow, God didn't give up on you. Long-suffering and teaching. Listen, why does he say teaching? Because I've shared this before. There is a difference between preaching and teaching. Preaching is proclaiming. Teaching is explaining. Let me give it to you like this. Here's the difference. Preaching is the headline. Teaching is the article. Preaching is Jesus saves. Teaching is Jesus saves because of the substitutionary atoning work on the cross, and here's what happened, and here's how it applies to your life. You have to have both. Jesus preached and he taught. So listen, while we're preaching the word of God, we've got to do it with long suffering and with teaching. But why? Everybody say why. Here's what we got to look at, because there's a change. Somebody say a change. Look at this with me. There's a change. For the time will come, verse 3, where they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Look at verse 3 again. For the time will come. I want to tell you something, that if the time was there in Paul's day, how much more in our day? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Doctrine. See, I'm a doctrinal preacher. I'm a preacher teacher. Doctrine is things about love and grace and the blood and redemption and the cross and the Holy Spirit and how it all ties to our lives. And but the scripture says there coming a time where people will not endure sound doctrine. Can I tell you that is a picture of the hour that we live in today? People don't want to hear the word of God. Do you know that when Noah preached as he was building that ark, and every slam of the hammer, it was a sound of judgment against those people. They mocked him as he talked about the Lord's return. They mocked him at the fact that Jesus was coming again one day, and they steadily just beat and beat on those boards. And Noah preached the gospel for all of those years, and people mocked him. Peter, 1 Peter said, in the last days scoffers will also come, saying, when's the sign and the promise of his coming? That is the same spirit that we're living in today. Because people don't want to hear sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? It's sound doctrine is that Jesus is the only way to go to heaven. The only way to go to heaven. You know, there are people on national syndicated television that have multiple levels of influence. I won't tell you her name, but it starts with Oprah. But she does not believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And here's the thing. Because it's flashy, because it's new, people just kind of run to that. I told you a moment ago about the brother from Tulsa who fell, who says there is no hell, everybody goes to heaven. People flock to that because then they don't have to live any kind of certain way. Listen, I'm a grace preacher, and I believe in grace. But listen, anything that is called grace that makes you feel comfortable living in sin is not grace. There was a man that came out years ago telling people, Jesus paid for your sin, past, present, and future. You don't even need to repent anymore. That is a far stretch from the truth. Listen, the Bible says if you confess your sin, he's faithful and he's just to forgive you. Listen, there is grace, but any grace that allows us to live a loose lifestyle is not biblical grace. People won't endure sound doctrine, and anybody that preaches the truth in our day today, listen to me, they're labeled as a clothesline preacher, legalistic, old-fashioned. Well, if I'm old-fashioned, then just let me be old-fashioned. Come on, somebody. I still believe there's a heaven. You only get to go there if your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I still believe in a rapture of a church that happens before the tribulation period, and Jesus is coming back to catch up those that are dead and to bring up those who are alive. I still believe there's a hell. Come on, somebody. Listen, I'm not happy about it. I cry when I think about people going there when the Bible says that the smoke of their torment goes up day and night and they have no rest. But it's true. It's in the Word of God. I still believe in the whole counsel of Scripture. But there's coming a day where the times will change, where people will not endure sound doctrine. Watch this. Here's what they're going to do. The Bible says, but according to their own desires, because they have what? Itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. What you think about that? That's why there's such a pull today. And I see people all the time. I asked a lady here just a year or two ago. This lady taught me in Sunday school. I stayed all night at her house years growing up. And many mornings I would wake up to her in the rocking chair praying over her children while we were still asleep. She got hurt in a church, decided she wasn't going to church anymore, and got wrapped up in this televangelist who their doctrine is totally off. And I asked her one time, I said, so where do you go to church? She said, I don't. She said, I watch such and such channel every single Sunday. The only problem is, listen to me, they only preach one subject every single day. Every time you turn on the channel, it's the same thing. Over and over and over again. And I'm not talking about Jesus. Listen to me. That is the beauty of belonging to a Bible-believing church. Amen? Because we believe that from cover to cover, this word is inspired. And it has the power to change your life. Amen? It is the living word. The Bible says that it is able to divide the soul and the spirit and the joint and the marrow. That this word can change your life. Amen. So listen to me, and I'm about done this morning, but listen to me. That's why it's important to love the Word of God. Because it causes us to grow. Romans 10:17. I'm going to close with this scripture if they'll come this morning. Romans 10:17 says, "For by faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." So listen. If you'll learn to love all kinds of preaching, okay? Listen to me. I love the happy, positive stuff. I love it. I also love to get my toes stepped on sometimes because it lets me know I'm still alive. I'm not too saved to come to the altar. I'm not too saved. Listen, repentance doesn't mean that you committed adultery. It just simply means you missed the mark somewhere. Sin is not always the presence of wrong, but it's also the absence of right. And sometimes sin is not cheating on your taxes or cheating on your spouse. Sometimes sin is, I just didn't do the right thing that I was supposed to do. And biblical preaching is designed for us to examine ourselves. I'm going to close with this final thought. Because next Sunday is Resurrection Sunday, and then we're going to be entering into the Pentecost season. And when Peter preached that first Pentecostal message, he got up and he said, "Repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." He said, "The promise is for you, to your children's children, and to as many as are afar off, as many as the Lord your God shall call." And here's what the scripture says right after that, after Acts 2:38. Acts 2:39, it reads like this. It says, "And they were pricked in their hearts, and they said, what must we do to be saved?" So I want you to think about that. Everything we do is pointing towards Jesus and trying to provoke a response to people. Because the Word of God is powerful, amen? And it will produce fruit in your lives. Will you stand with me as we get ready to pray? Father, we thank you this morning for your Word. Lord, I thank you that we're in a church this morning that believes in the Scripture. And Lord, if you said it, then we know it's for us. And it's going to produce the intended fruit in our lives. And Lord, I pray that there'll be people here today that fall in love with the Word of God. Lord, that they would love to hear your Word, that it would be like honey on their lips. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, I want to ask you a question. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and today you want to know Him, and you want to get right with Him, listen, the Scripture says plainly that you must confess the Lord Jesus as your Savior and turn from your old life, and Jesus will forgive you and He'll save you and He'll make you a new creation. If your head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you say, "I want to know Jesus. I don't know Him, or I'm away from Him, and I don't want to leave without having my relationship right with God," then I want you to slip up your hand. I want to pray with you. Is there anybody here today? Anybody here today? I need to know. Without a shadow of a doubt. Anybody? I need to make sure I'm right with God. I'm going to wait on you for a second. Lift it high if that's you. I want to pray for you. God bless you. Anybody here this morning? I'm looking for you. Hallelujah. How many of you here this morning, heads bowed and eyes still closed, would say with me, "Pastor Brad, I love the Word of God. I love the Word of God. And I want it to change my life even more." Let me see your hands. Is that you? I love the Word of God. Amen. He said, "Be instant in season and out of season." The only way you can get money out of an ATM is if you put anything in it. So I'm challenging you this morning. This is our time. I'm going to pray in just a second. And then Miss Carol has an announcement. But I want to challenge you this morning. Every day, get in the Word. Find you a Bible reading plan. Read through Proverbs. Start in John. If you need help with it, ask me. I'll hook you up with something. Get in the Word of God every day and let the Word of God change you so that you can be instant in season and out of season if somebody were to ask you about your faith. Let me pray for you this morning. She's coming. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you today for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your power. God, I'm asking you right now to put a hunger in our hearts for the Word of God. I'm asking you, Lord, right now to just bless your people today. God, I pray that this would be a church that recognizes biblical truth and we stand upon the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. To give to this ministry, visit woodwardfirstag.org and simply click the Give tab. We sincerely believe that today's message has been divinely inspired of the Holy Spirit, and because of that, you will soon reap a bountiful harvest. God bless, and thank you once again for listening to today's podcast.